Perfect.
You're from the 5 minutes.
She puzzled, right? Okay, we got, let's just sing a fast niggun, a strong niggun before we go into the world, before we go into like up there, whatever you guys want to call it. Let's sing it.
Because of the typo, Rabbi Nachman Bam Reslev. I'm sorry about that. Okay, but no fear at all. We're gonna really do something special today. As far as I'm concerned, maybe very special. The ocean first asked me to teach a shir on Hasidic pearls on the Haggadah, which the truth is, or on Pesach, we could do that, and you should know Hasidim have like a field trip when it comes to the Haggadah. If you're looking for like vorts and stuff like that, and like what Reb Shlomo would call cash Torahs. You know what cash Torahs are? Like you have a little cash in your pocket whenever you know you need to just give somebody something very fast, give them a little bit of cash, right? So whenever you have like a bunch of vorts hidden in your pockets, you can give it right away to someone if you're caught on the spot. And Hasidim are very, very big. Obviously, when it comes to the Haggadah of Pesach, you can go through the whole Haggadah just with like little cute vorts. And we might be doing a little bit of that today. But what I wanted to focus on much stronger is Tachlis, like what's really, 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 really happening Seder night in the world of Hasidus, that is, and how the Rebbes would envision, how they would tell us, if like we had one of the big Rebbes today sitting here, a Levi, if we could try to understand a little bit to be in their eyes and to see what they're talking about when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you know the Pesach. Out of every holiday is very personal, right? Every holiday is, you got to feel connected. And the Pesach it was like super, super personal by the Rebbe's Sdarim. In fact, you've all heard the... How many of you have heard of the Chernobyl Magid? Chernobyl, the dynasty of Chernobyl? Some of you have heard? Like the Twersky family, right? They come from that. Hornestipel. So the Magid, the Chernobyl Magid, was the student of the Baal Shem Tov. And every year when it came to Magid, to show, like, to emphasize to his Chassidim that it was so much more than just reading a story of what happened, he would pull out a diary. Every year he pulled out a diary. And you open up the diary, and before starting, you know, before starting Halach Ma'ani or anything of the story, he would first pull out his diary, and in his diary was a list of every single miracle that took place in his life that year from the Pesach before. That's how he began his own personal Magid. This is the Magid of the Chernobyl Magid. That's how he began Pesach, showing that Mamish, like, if you take a second and not just read about what happened thousands of years ago and think about your own life, all those times where things could have or should have gone wrong, acknowledging them Seder night. That's how he'd open up. There's a famous story that one time the Vizhnitz Rebbe, the first one to come to Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe of Vizhnitz, so he was walking, he was walking and he met his first typical Israeli. He met his first Israeli. I don't know how you guys, how it felt meeting your first Israeli on the street here. I don't know what it was, the first cab driver, whatever it is. But he met his first Israeli. And when the first Israeli answered him, whatever he answered, he realized that in the secret, in the language of Hebrew, our mamish tzmonim sodos, secrets are being hidden in the language. We don't even realize it. Why? What did the Rebbe ask this typical guy named Tzachi, I don't know what his name was, on the beach in Tel Aviv, wherever he was, what does he say to him? He said, oh, mashlom chan. And what do you answer to that in Hebrew? Akol b'seder. And they turned, and the Rebbe turned to his chassidim and said, this guy knows all the sodas of Kabbalah. Everything really is in the seder. Akol b'seder. Everything. No, it doesn't mean it's funny, but it's totally endless. Meaning, everything, kol haTorah kula, every story that happened ever, not just the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but everything that happened from Adam HaRishon until Mashiach is going to come, really, really is in the Seder. Really, really in the Seder. So first of all, we're going to try, if possible, to figure out something in Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, in Likutei Maharan, a little piece in Likutei Maharan. There's also this absolutely beautiful piece here in Rabbi Tzadok of Lublin. How many of you have heard of Rabbi Tzadok? Few hands? Okay, awesome. If you didn't, don't worry, but we'll learn it today. And if we have, and Emet Hashem will also go to a teaching of Reb Shlomo Kalbach that we have, which really makes all of this much more hitting home and much clearer. So, before understanding what happens on Pesach night, first Rabbi Nachman is going to show us what happens to us on Yontiv in general. Yomtiv in general, not just Pesach night. Little hakdam, a little intro. We're going to put our chassidish shtreimels and bekishes on and try to understand what this means to be even mechabed a yomtiv, to take in yomtiv in our life. Not just, and then afterwards we'll get to Pesach. But before all of that, I just have to emphasize something to everyone, anyone in here. If you never learn chassidus, it truly, like for today, it really doesn't matter. It mamish doesn't matter. The truth is, it doesn't matter anything. But definitely today, what we're learning right now, you shouldn't think that, oh, I didn't come to the Chassidus Chabura, or, you know, my grandfather was Reb Chaim Volozhiner's grandson, and he wouldn't want to be in here. Like, it doesn't mean those kind of... What we're trying to do is something greater, much, much greater than that. Okay? So mamash, just to feel free to ask if something isn't clear. That's the most important thing, and I always, always, always stress that to all my students, all the chavra I have a schus to learn with, that when it comes to this stuff, if things aren't clear, then the whole point is missed. Really, the whole point is missed. So we'll try to see what's happening over here. Now, in Pesach, like I started in the beginning to say, things are really, really personal. Meaning, what am I meant by personal? There's one statement in the Haggadah that makes us really have to reconsider every step of our Hachanas for Pesach, and the Haggadah, and reading the Haggadah, and all the mitzvahs we have. Which is what statement in the Haggadah really brings home this personal aspect that you could think of? Could anyone think of anything? Perfect. Mamish, bechol derevador chayav adam liyosis atzmo keilu hayatzad mitzrayim. We don't see and sukkis chayav adam liyosis atzmo keilu hu yoshev tachas ananei hakavod. Doesn't say a person has to feel like he's sitting under the clouds of glory in sukkis. It doesn't say really chayav adam lehargish shehu b'shusha nabira b'zman shehaman amad alehem ligzorim. Meaning there's no chiyuv that you have to feel like you were in Shushan, meaning we try very, very hard to get back to feeling what it was to be saved through Tainis Esther, through the Purim itself. But on Pesach, this inyan of, you know what, if you don't feel like you yourself right now, not just are with Am Yisrael leaving Egypt, but that you yourself are getting out of your own Mitzrayim, then maybe we're missing the whole point of Pesach. You guys hear this? Bechol dor vador chayav adam liyos etzmo ki'ilu hu yatzva mitzrayim. The Haggadah is screaming out to us, make sure you really feel what's going on here. It's like hinting, he's like, if not, you're really, really missing what's going on. Now Chassidus, in general, you should all know, always tries very, very, very hard to really bring home these lessons of transforming yourself, of really taking yourself back thousands of years, or bringing thousands of years to you right now, and to really live it, to really, really live it. And you can't swear, and I wouldn't even promise, but you could take my word for this. When you're by certain rebbes and you see the way their hislavus, the way their enthusiasm is when they're sitting at the Seder table, then you really see, it really is possible to feel like you're leaving the tribe. Sometimes we need to just see it by someone else before we can imagine it on ourselves. And in this year, what we're doing today is we're going to try to enliven, we're going to try to give ourselves the chance, the opportunity that this coming Seder will be able to actually do it on our own, hopefully, or at least taste it. So if you look inside this first piece over here, Likutei Moharan, Tinyana, but you should just know Tinyana means the second part of Likutei Moharan. Those of you who have learned Likutei Moharan before, that means the gathering. What does Likutei mean? What does Likutei mean? What's that? Very good. Like in Hebrew, we always say this in our shir. What's the words for a knapsack in Hebrew? Like a backpack? Sorry? Yalkut. So Likutei Moharan is basically taking together all different teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And who did this? His top student, Rabbi Natan of Breslov. Anyway, like we just mentioned, we were talking about this before. Rabbi Nachman has a very clear instruction on how to learn his Torahs. And this is very important for us to understand before looking inside the words. What does Rabbi Nachman say about his own Torahs? He says something awesome. You can learn my Torahs, you can stretch them out any way you want. Meaning what? If you hear a certain calling from my Torah and you think it means this, so in Breslev, it's a minhag that's miskabel, meaning that was accepted. That's why there's so many different voices in Breslev today. It's like, okay, that's probably what Rabbi Nachman meant for you. So if we're learning right now something, and to you it seems like it's this, and to you it seems like it's that, that's okay, don't get startled. If not, everything seems the same. But Rabbi Nachman says, there's one geder, a gader. There's one fence around that law. And what's that fence called? What could you assume it would be? The Dalai Lama's of Halacha. Meaning you can learn Likutei Moharan, you can learn Rabbi Nachman's teachings to try to learn something from it in your own life, but it's Chas V'Sholom, what you hear from it is to do something that might be against Halacha, then Rabbi Nachman says, you're totally off. That's not at all what I mean. So having said that, let's see how Rabbi Nachman Bichlal talks about the importance of Yontif, what Yontif does in the world. So if you can look inside the first paragraph. Reb Nachman says like this: Hisgalus haratzon hu al yedei yomim tovim. So what does hisgalus mean? The lishon nigla, the revelation of the ratzon, of the will, right? Whose will are we talking about? Sorry, Hashem or ours? What do you think?
Hashem.
Let's stick with Hashem's for now. Hisgalus haratzon. It's always good to stick with Hashem's will, but definitely, I mean, especially right now. Hisgalus haratzon hu al yedei yomim tovim. Reb Nachman says that Yontif comes to bring out something in the world. It's coming to tell us, it's coming to remind us What does Hashem really want? This is amazing, Chavra. Really, really, this is really, really special. These words are so special. Reb Nachman just says, Yom Tov coming into the world is Megale, the Ratzon of Hashem. It reveals to us what Hashem wants really to happen in the world. Ali de Yomim Tovim, through Yom Tov. Ki kol echad ma Yomim Tovim, each Yom Tov, each day of Yom Tov, machriv the kore u'megale es haratzon. Reb Nachman says each Yom Tov, and specifically, obviously, he's talking about, you know, Pesach Shavuos and Sukkot the Regolim, but he also put in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Each one of the Yom Tovim calls out to the world, machriz the kore u'megale es haratzon, and it reveals Hashem's ratzon that what. Shehakol misnaheg rak al pi ritzono bilvad. That really, what is it revealing to the world? That everything that happens in the world only happens because if Hashem wants it to happen. Rabbi Nachman is asking us a question. He's saying, what do Yom Tovim bring out into the world? It brings out a very clear message that if anything happens in the world, it's because Hashem wants it to happen. Now, what dafka happens on Yom Tovim? Rabbi Nachman is going to show us. Well, first of all, look at this quote from Vayikra. He bases this on two words that we say in Vayikra. It talks about the Mo'adim. Bifchinas Mikra Kodesh. We call the Yom Tovim a Mikra Kodesh. Now, what is a Mikra? How would you, if you didn't learn this Torah, and you had to translate these two words into English, what would it be? Mikra Kodesh? A holy calling? This is a holy calling, what did you say?
A source for holy.
A source for holy out of Makor?
Yes.
I mean, it could be, but not over here because it's a different root. What else? A happening of Kodesh? Like a Likrot, yeah, very good. A happening of Kodesh. So Rav Nachman says, Mikra Kodesh really is this calling out into the world. If you listen closely, it's Hashem speaking through the Yantiv. Hashem speaking through what we're celebrating. Now Rabbi Nachman says like this, again, he'll repeat his words, Shayom Tov Kodesh Kore U'machriz Et Haratzon Kanal. The Yom Tov, holiness of Yom Tov, it's Kore U'machriz Et Haratzon Kanal. It calls out and it declares the Ratzon of Hashem. Ki Bechol Yom Tov, the Yom Tov, Asa Hashem Yisbarach Imanu Osos Narav. Here Rabbi Nachman says something beautiful. Every single Yom Tov, Hashem did for us some amazing, amazing nisim, amazing signs, right? Osos noros, shehem hefech hateva, which are the, what's the hefech hateva? Does anyone know? The exact opposite of what we perceive as nature. And here we can see it inside, but we could talk about it outside for a second. Obviously on Sukkot what happened? What was the hefech hateva on Sukkot? During the holiday of Sukkot, what was the opposite of nature that happened? On Nanei Akavod, right? And on Shavuos, what's the opposite of nature? Meaning, what took place on a miracle level on above, beyond nature? Har Sinai. And on Pesach? Where do we begin? Tons of things. So Ibn Nachman is asking us a question. He's saying like this, what do miracles serve to do? Like, what are they really doing in the world? And Rav Nachman is saying, do miracles just show us that Hashem is in control of everything? Or is Hashem speaking through a miracle? Is there a mikra? Is there a calling out of Kodesh, of something holy in the world, through a miracle? So Rav Nachman says, it can't be, Chavra. It can't be that when Hashem splits the sea and does the 10 makos and everything else in the world, and it can't be that when Hashem, in Har Sinai, all the miracles that took place in Har Sinai, and on Sukkot with the Nanei HaKavod, it can't just be that Hashem is calling, doing this just to show us He's in charge. Because in Chassidus we learn that whatever Hashem does, it's really to teach us something strong, and it's like our shadow. Baal Shem Tov says in the Pasuk, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha, we say it in Tehillim. Baal Shem Tov says, Hashem Tzilcha, what's a tzel in Hebrew? Shadow. Hashem is your shadow. Really, it's like you're trying so hard to be Hashem's shadow because He's our shadow. Hashem Tzilcha. So whatever Hashem is doing in these three Mo'adim, it's really to bring home something very, very, very strong. Miracles are much more than just showing that God is great. For that, I don't need miracles. For that, if I take a really good look at the world, that should be enough. Should be enough. But Rabbi Nachman is saying here something beautiful, and this is really, we'll see in a second why it's so chashuv to know this on Pesach. But the most important thing we get here so far is that hefech ha-teva, the opposite of teva, is sometimes Hashem's ratzon. Meaning, we many times put Hashem in Mitzrayim. I know this is a crazy statement, but listen to it very clearly. How can you put Hashem in Mitzrayim? What's Mitzrayim? Where does the word Mitzrayim come from? A Meitzar. You all know this, obviously. And what's a Meitzar? I mean, a Meitzar karasika. What does Meitzarim mean? Narrowness, right? That means, how do I put Hashem in Mitzrayim? When I can't believe that Hashem can do much bigger and greater things. Do you hear this? This is mamish being personal, and I'm sure you could all relate to this on a certain level. How do I put Hashem in my mind in Mitzrayim? Is when I don't believe that Hashem can do something much, much greater. That I don't believe that Hashem can do something above and beyond nature. So the goal is not just to get Hashem out of Mitzrayim, in my vision of how small the world is, but to get myself out of Mitzrayim. What does that mean? It means, Chavre, something so beautiful. This is what Rabbi Nachman is really, I humbly believe, is saying to us. That on Pesach, when I work so hard on telling the story, I have to chayav adam liyosu atmo. I got to see that I left Egypt. And spiritually, what does that mean? Not just physically that I got out of being a slave, but spiritually, what does it mean to leave Mitzrayim? It means that I leave my Meitzarim, that I leave my narrowness of what I can accomplish in the world. Here, this is how Chassidus says it. All year long, I think that I can only do so and so. But really, on Pesach, because I see that I'm supposed to emulate God, and God did so much, Hashem did so much more than what I thought He could do, with all these nisim, let me try to believe that I can shock myself this coming year. Let me believe that I can do far more than whatever I thought I can do. Obviously, hopefully, we should all be blessed to feel this every day that we could go past our kulot. But it'd be amazing, it'd be really, really amazing to see what would happen to us if we truly believed, truly, truly, truly believed that we could do things above our nature. I'm not talking about performing miracles, Chaver. I'm not talking about, wow, you know, all year long, I'm clearly like in the belief that I cannot fly from here to the Kotel. So I'm going to try. Pesach night, everything is beyond nature. I'm going to try right now to spread my arms and try to fly from the roof here to the Kotel. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not what Rav Nachman's talking about. He's talking about things that we think we just can't do it because we're not on the level to do it. We're not capable of doing it. Mainly, I'm talking about habits. A person can't change a habit because he thinks, not that he doesn't want to, he doesn't think he can. And you know, I don't know, but you know, I bless you all to have no idea what I'm talking about in this next statement. Mamish, I hope no one knows what I'm going to be talking about. But people that are depressed, depression, so you fall and you get depressed one day. But why can't you get out of it a day later, a week later, a month later? Because you truly can't believe that you could be happy. It's not that you choose to stay sad, necessarily, but it's that you can't imagine a day that you're going to wake up in the morning with a smile on your face. Or you can't imagine a Shabbos where you're going to come to Lech HaDodi and be on the level to say it with such emuna and kavana. So you stay in that place, not that kind of choice, because no one's painting a brighter picture for you. No one's showing you that you really are able to snap out of it. On Pesach night, we're going to see, especially based on what Reb Nachman just told us, Hashem shows us through the Yom Tovim, a Mikra Kodesh. There's a calling out saying, you know what? It might be true any other day of the year, but you can't get out of whatever you're into, or you can't grow much more than you think. On Pesach night, Reb Nachman says, mainly on Yontif, but we'll see on Pesach night, Dafka, you can. You are able to. It's this moment that happens. And when does it usually happen? Vayi b'chatzi alayla. Baghada tells us, the story, the Torah tells us, usually at midnight, usually right there in the middle of the night, there's this moment, just like it was in Yetzias Mitzrayim, where I have just a spark, just a second of feeling, wow, it really can be, the world really can be better, and I can actually get my act together. Much more than whatever I thought that could be. But it comes and it goes so fast. Now look at the next source, if you don't mind. Reb Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, who, if I start telling you who Reb Tzedek was, we'll be here for a week. So I'm not going to start telling you who Reb Tzedek was, but it's definitely kedai to try to figure out, to try to learn and seek out who Reb Tzedek HaKohen was. One of the greatest minds Am Yisrael was zochet to have in our midst in the last few hundred years. Prime pupil, student of, if you've heard of the Me'ah Shiloh, of the Ishbitzer Rebbe. This is Reb Tzedek, but there's much more to be said about him. But for now, let's just learn the first few lines in one of his most famous svarim, and he has many. But one of my favorites is this sefer called Tzidkas HaTzadik. Obviously, a play on words of his name. This is how Reb Tzedek begins the beginning of the sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik. So if you can all look inside, it's very important to see this inside. He says like this, Reishis Knisos HaAdam LaAvodas Hashem Tzarich Lios B'Chipazon. Many Baal Tshuva yeshivas would have a very big problem with this statement, however. Once you understand, maybe you'll understand what I just said now also. The beginning of a person going into Avodas Hashem, when a person first starts to try to be a Yid, for real, so the beginning he says, Tzarich Lios B'Chipazon. What's this word Chipazon? Haste. Fast. Mamish like this. Very, very fast. Kmo Shematzinu, Reb Tzedek says, like we see where? Pesach Mitzrayim. Like we see in Pesach Mitzrayim, when we left Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shehaya Ne'echal B'Chipazon. He says, what's matzah? It's bread that wasn't baked for that long and we ate it fast. He says, he learns from the way, the fact that we have matzah in the world and the way in which we left Mitzrayim, that if we really, really want to be able to jump in our Avodas Hashem or really be a Yid, so the beginning, the first steps, have to be b'chipazon. Has to be very, very fast. Has to be right away. For instance, in other words, someone's trying to quit smoking. So the Tzedek only believes in going cold turkey. You know, many people, I don't know if you know, but friends or yourselves, try to, you know, you're smoking a pack a day, lo aleinu, let's say. And then you say to yourself, No, you know, I'll start, if I quit right away, I'll be right back on it next week, right? I know myself. So I'll start from, you know, what, there are 20 in a pack, right? So I'll go to 15. And then after a few weeks, I'll go to 10. And then I plan that a week later, I'll go to 5, and eventually I'll have one a day, and then I'll knock it off. And Tzedek says, if you hold like that, you're totally kidding yourself. You'll find yourself 5 years later, maybe on like, you know, going when you went down from 20 to 17, and you'll find that, you'll call that a hatzlacha. Ibn Tzedek says, really the only way to succeed in this is if you quit legamre, altogether. And Akalachav Kavachama, Kavachomer, Ibn Tzedek is saying that when I first feel fire for the Ribbono Shel Olam, I gotta jump on that instinct. Many people get very threatened when they hear these words because there's always the fear of falling afterwards. It seems to me that Ibn Tzedek is less worried about that. He's much more concerned, though, that you get out of your own Mitzrayim if you have a chance. If you have that second, that flash of how beautiful Yiddishkeit is, or how beautiful you can be, how beautiful the world can be, act on that and get out of it right away. And he bases this concept, this theory, this derech in Yiddishkeit on matzah and on the way that we left Mitzrayim. Shehaya ne'echol b'chipazon. Remember, we ran out of there. We left. We jumped so fast. Because Reb Tzedek is saying, if Hashem told us, right, and this I'm not saying from the words of Reb Tzedek, but we're learning outside of it, if Hashem would have told us, listen, in about 3 years, there's going to be a great night that's going to take place, and you're going to actually stop being slaves and leave Egypt. None of us would believe it. And when the day would finally come, we'd probably do so many cheshbonos of how it's better if we actually stay in Mitzrayim, and if you hold that only a fifth came out of Mitzrayim, not even that would have come out of Mitzrayim. You'd have four naive Yidlach thinking that it's better on the other side. Reb Tzedek is saying, that's why even the way Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, with all the signs and everything, it's got to be boom, just like that, very, very fast. Now if you look at the second line, after the Pesachim, the quote from Pesachim, Look how Reb Tzadok says, he explains this even deeper. Mipnei shehatchala, the beginning, is lenatek etzmo mikol tavas olam hazeh shehu mekushar bahem. Reb Tzadok says the beginning of going into Avodas Hashem is to completely lenatek. What's lenatek in Hebrew? You know nituk is? What's that? Does anyone know what lenatek means? Sorry?
Find
that's letaken, close, the close letters. Nituk means to disconnect, lenatek. Reb Tzadok says the beginning is lenatek atzmo, disconnect yourself totally from kol taivas olam hazeh. Disconnect yourself completely from any taiva. What's a taiva? I hope you don't know what that is, but if you do, tell me. Any lusts, hopefully we have holy desires, but lusts usually aren't holy. If you have any lusts, an olam hazeh, worldly lust, the beginning is get rid of it right away. Don't start planning out, mapping out a 3-month kiruv course for yourself to map out for you exactly how you're going to disconnect from every single taiva you have. So that says right away. That's the only way. You hear a mikra kodesh, Reb Tzadok says. You hear Reb Nachman says that Hashem is calling out and saying, "Hey, remember, I was able to go beyond what you think is nature. I believe in you also. You could go above your own nature, above your own mitzrayim, your meitzarim, your limits, and you can grow out of it." Right after the comma, the second to last line, Reb Tzadok, he says something so powerful where it's underlined. Sarich lishmor harega. The Reb Tzadok says it's so important. What is lishmor harega? He means this. Mamish, not just cherish the moment. Seize it. Mamish, to seize it, to hold on lishmoroto, you guard it like this. What's that moment? That second that it was clear to you that Hashem Echad. Now, this moment happens to us many, many times a day. Every day, if we really pay attention. This moment where it's just so clear. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever, most of us in this room grew up in firm homes, right? Most of us, in Orthodox homes. But I can say, I definitely in the music world, most musicians that I work with, are, if they're, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, but in Chutz La'aretz too, the Yidin amongst them are not firm. Or they didn't grow up firm, that's for sure. You know, I've never seen like a real killer, no mechila to anyone in this room, but if a real killer guitarist that has a long beard that, you know, doesn't have a story of, you know, his mother being in Woodstock or something, some kind of crazy story, you know what I mean? There's always some kind of story. Most musicians that I've come across the scene have been people that have a story and that at some moment in their life, in their search for realness, there was this rega, there was this moment where everything was so clear. One of the things that we unfortunately aren't zochet to as being born from is that we never search for that moment because we think it's always clear to us. You guys know what I'm talking about at all? Does this make sense at all? Like, it's hard for us to admit this, but there's this sense of like we don't search for that moment because we think it's totally, totally clear to us. The whole Torah, Nisim, Niflos, and Muna and all that, we grew up with it. We don't have to search for it. But really, on that level, you know, I learned from one of my closest friends is Aaron Razel. We were on a flight once to New York, and he was jumping. We had a concert in New York, and remember, he was jumping all over the plane. He was dancing with the pilot before he took off. All these crazy stories. And some woman asked him and went up to him and said, "Tagidli, ata baal tshuva? Tell me, are you baal tshuva?" And he looked at her and he says, "Odlo." He said, "Not yet." And I learned so much from that. It's mamish. Something I learned from so much. On a certain level, all of us should be always searching for that moment where things are very, very clear to us. We want to act upon them. But in any event, Reb Tzadok says when those moments happen, and it happens to each and every one of us at different times, you have to lishmor harega. You got to seize the moment and act upon it. Pesach night, those moments are clearly, clearly, clearly in the air. And on Pesach night, I have a chance to go beyond myself. That's literally what it is. So I want to end with this very, 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 very chashuv piece from, with your issues, from Reb Shlomo Karlach. If you could pass this around. I know most of you in this room know, obviously, the great talents of Reb Shlomo as a musician, which I would probably, it's the last thing on the list I'd call him a musician, but more for his music. And rightfully so, in this, while he was alive in this world, that's what he was known for. He was known as a musician, the singing rabbi. But Baruch Hashem, we're currently working on a very, very, very big project of publishing many, many, many different types of works of Reb Shlomo Karlbach, Perushim on the Torah, on the Megillas, on the Moadim, on Shabbos, a Perush on Likutei Moharan, on Rabbi Nachman of Reb Shlomo, because really, he spent his life teaching. If you listen to any concert, any tapes of concerts that weren't edited or censored by publishing companies, he was screaming Torah. He was screaming Torah behind, in between every single song. And before we just look into this piece, which in simple English looks very simple, let me just describe to you very fast what I believe he did, based on words that he said describing Rav Kook. One time when Reb Shlomo was learning Rav Kook, or Rota Tshuva, so he began off saying the following. He said, you know what Rav Kook did before he wrote Orata Tshuva? He learned every single piece that existed in all our Mekoros about Tshuva. Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, Hilchos Tshuva, obviously of the Rambam. He looked inside the deep Sukkim, talking about Vidui in the Torah, the Yom Kippur, even the Geres Tshuva of the Alter Rebbe. He learned everything possible he could that he knew of about Tshuva. And then what happened? Like an orange, he squeezed it out, all that learning, and the juice that came out was an Oras HaTshuva of Rav Kook. That's how he describes Oras HaTshuva. And really, if you look at Oras HaTshuva of Rav Kook, you see that it's encompassing Kol HaTorah Kula, and especially it contains within it anything that was written about Tshuva. The more that I've had the schus to get into the learning, the Torah of Reb Shlomo Karlbach, the more I see that he really did the same thing. He learned all the Rebbes. He learned not just Chassidish. He learned all of them. We have shiurim of him teaching Nefesh HaChaim. It's like, it's unbelievable what's going on. He learned everything. And then literally, when he would speak, it was like juice coming out of all of them together. So everything we learn together today, right now, if you really listen closely to the words of Reb Shlomo in this next piece, you'll see it's all there. It's all hidden there. So Reb Shlomo says like this, and Chevron, this English, first of all, we're working very hard on editing this stuff. It's very hard. Because if you ever hear Reb Shlomo speak or teach, give a shiur, if we gave it word by word, it would sound something like this. Holy brother, I want you to know, you're mamish, gevav, mamish three more times, and then maybe he'd say it one word. Meaning, it's very, very, until he got the words out, it took a long, long time. Okay? So we're doing the best with this kind of editing, and we have a long way to go, but even if it sounds simple, it's the purpose. He said things so simple, yet they were so, so, so deep. Kind of like his music. If anyone's a musician in this room, how many of you are musicians that play guitar or keyboard? Anyone? So, you know about Chavre, it's not an embarrassment to raise your hand as a musician. Okay, so you know chords, right? A little bit about chords. How many chords do you think you know? 25. So when I first started learning guitar, I taught myself four chords in about 2 weeks, and I was able to play about 85 Reb Shlomo tunes. Because he himself only really knew five or six chords. The way he was able to transmit the most beautiful melodies using only two or three chords. Some songs are just two chords. Two chords, the whole song. We try to be talented musicians to show that we can play these songs, but he played in two chords and like seven chords, and we start messing it up. But really, to keep it simple, it was so much more beautiful. His words are like his nigunim. Very, very simple, yet containing big sodot, big secrets in the Torah. So let's go like this and we'll end with this. Shlomo says like this, I want to share something very, very deep with you. When we talk about seeing bloodshed, seeing destruction, you could, God forbid, become insane unless you have the vision of the Mashiach.
What does Reb Shlomo mean? In this world, if all you do is watch news every night, so unless you believe Ani Manim Mona Shnuma Vyasa Mashiach, you could lose your brain. Because based on what the media portrays or what our eyes usually see in this world, unless you have a Mashiach vision that that's actually going to happen one day, you could lose your mind. Because nothing, almost nothing, especially the media portrays, or let's say we're walking into a hospital, like he'll shows us any sign of anything that's going to show us a better day. Look over here, after the word Mashiach. I'll tell you something very, very deep. I'm not a doctor, but how can someone take a knife and cut open a human being? You need to have a vision that you are saving their life. You shed his blood, but you have the vision that you are saving his life. But imagine if I wouldn't have this Mashiach vision that I'm saving this person. How can you take a knife and cut somebody open? Unless, obviously, you're insane. How could you cut somebody's heart out? Only if it is clear to me that I'm giving them a new heart and that I am saving them. Look at the second paragraph. Guys, I'm urging you all to look at this inside. But then there's something else that Shlomo said. In former good days, all the great rabbis and Kabbalists were also good doctors. Chevra, like who? Give me some names. Obviously, yeah. And who else? Anybody else? Perfect. Let's hold on to those two names for now. In order to be a doctor, you have to have a Mashiach vision. How can you be a doctor without having a Mashiach vision? This is, by the way, Chevra, if you ever come across in Breslov learning, Rabbi Nachman has this really angry and loud approach against doctors. There's actually a whole book in Breslov, in the Breslov Institute, a whole book dedicated to trying to understand why Reb Nachman was so against doctors. But the bottom line is that he was so against doctors because he didn't believe that they had this vision while they were healing people. They were just trying to practice medicine. Especially in those times, 230 years ago in Russia. Third line in the second paragraph. How can you be a doctor without having a Mashiach vision? When I walk into a hospital and all I see is so many people who are sick, the only thing which can keep my sanity is if I have a vision of how I can cure them. And here Shlomo says like this in the next paragraph. The two greatest doctors were the Rashba and the Rambam. Obviously, they were the greatest doctors in the world. They were the greatest Kabbalists. But they didn't have time to walk up to you, examine you, and take your pulse, and take your blood pressure. It's not that kind of doctor. This is a classic Reb Shlomo language. It's all cute and sweet. I'm not knocking it. But they simply didn't have time. Reb Shlomo says, the Rashba saw 400 patients a day. 400 patients a day. He believed that a human being has to sleep for 8 hours. He also believed that you have to walk for 2 hours a day to be healthy. So you already have 10 hours off. Davening obviously took a long time too. He had yeshiva and he was teaching them for hours a day. He wrote Tshuvas HaRashba. He was writing hundreds of tshuvas. On top of all of this, he saw 400 patients a day because at his time he was the greatest doctor in Spain. So the Shlomo says, you think he sat with every person and took their blood pressure? That means that he maybe had half a minute for every person that he met, every patient. But what he did have was this absolute vision within him. And that, together with his medical genius, is how he was able to cure and help so many people a day with this Mashiach vision. Let's turn it now to the other side of the coin. Now, what we said right now, Reb Shlomo is going to bring us back to the Seder table, back to Pesach, and we're going to end with this Torah. You know what it means to be a slave, Reb Shlomo says? To be a slave means that I absolutely lost the vision of how great I could be, how holy I could be. That, Reb Shlomo says, is the opposite of freedom. When I'm free, I can imagine a better day. When I'm a slave, or let's say, when I'm depressed, when I'm in utter depression, it's that I can't imagine things getting better. So on Seder night, I begin to become aware of whom I can be and what I can really do in the world. On Seder night, while I am reading the Haggadah, I receive this vision. Why, Reb Shlomo? Why? This is based on what Rabbi Nachman said. When we read the Haggadah, we see that God went above nature. for us. And we see, ah, if God can do that like that, then in my own world, I have to try to do that as well. I can do that as well. What does it mean to know what I can do? To be completely aware of the depth of my life. Like Shlomo says, a dead person can't do anything. So the less I can do, that means I'm closer to death than to life. The more I'm alive, the more I can do. A slave thinks I can only daven with a little bit of kavanah, but not too much. And with God, I'm telling you, Chavra, we are sometimes such slaves in our own Yiddishkeit. Because we don't, it's not that we don't daven with a lot of kavanah because we don't want to. It's not that we don't take on Yiddishkeit deeper because we don't want to. It's because we don't think that we can. We hear a good shir, we hear a good musar shmuz, we get turned on by a certain rav or a certain nigun we heard, and we have a spark to do something really great in the world. But we don't act upon it, not because we're lazy, but it's because we really don't believe that we can be like that. That's slavery. A free yidlin knows that he can daven mariv like the holy Baal Shem if he understands what it means to be free. So what kind of freedom are we talking about on Seder night? On Pesach, Hashgar, Hashem gave us freedom. But not freedom to do what we want to do. Not freedom to do to use dirty words. And not freedom to push someone away. If Shlomo says we became free to walk the Har Sinai. Free to hear the word of Hashem. And here he says, I'll tell you the greatest story in the world. Reb Michal Zlotchever had seven sons. Reb Michal Zlotchever was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He had seven sons. One of them was Reb Yosela. The story is that Reb Yosela was very sick, mamash gefelach sick. He nearly mamash died. Suddenly, while he nearly died, he began sweating. Sweated for 2 hours, sweated out all his sickness. After 2 hours, he opened his eyes and he says, folks, I'm okay. I don't know if he said the word folks, but he said, I'm okay. So what happened? He says, I mamash died and came up to heaven. And they brought in all my prayers before the Beis Din Shel Mala. Sorry about the typo. The Beis Din Shel Mala began saying, this is praying. They looked at his tefillahs of his whole life. And they said, this is what you call davening? They wanted mamish keep me there. Keep me there means before you can go into Gan Eden on the other side, Lo Aleinu. Suddenly the holy Baal Shem Tov walked in. And he asked, what's going on here? So they said, this Yosla didn't daven properly. The Baal Shem Tov says, you're telling me about my Yosla? Baal Shem Tov says, Yosla, do me a favor. Knock off a little Maariv. Show them what you can do. So he says, I began to daven Maariv in heaven, all my soul, and I was sweating like a dog. While I was sweating from this Maariv, I managed to sweat it out of my whole sickness. All you need is one good stomach, the holy Baal Shem, to tell you, listen, brother, you can do it. Just sweat it out, you can do it. So Rabbi Nachman always said that when you learn, the chaver that we learn with them chassidus, chabur on Mondays, we know that Rabbi Nachman always said, you have to make tefillahs out of your Torahs. Meaning you have to daven, you have to make a tefillah out of everything you learn. So in your Yeshuas, just end by saying that this coming Pesach, as a tefillah, the Ribbono Shel Olam, should make my heart so open that while I'm reading the Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim for the first time in my life, I can mekayim chayav Adam lirot es atzmo ki'ilu yatzam Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Not just that we can sing a good nigun to it at the Seder during the Haggadah, but that I really believe that I can go beyond myself. What that means is different for every person in this room. Each one of us has different meitzarim to pass. But as an am, we also have a klal. And a klal, on a general level, we also have one big thing we have to work on. We got to really start convincing ourselves that we are not just ready, but we actually really do want Mashiach to come. We got to really put it in our neshamas that if we were in Mitzrayim right now, we'd want to go out. We'd want to go out. And until that happens, I give you all a bracha to be really good friends to each other and remind each other that you can actually do it. You can do it. You can be beyond yourself. You can be greater. And it should be the strongest Leil Seder you ever had. Shukriya. We'll see you after this time.
Shukriya.